Good morning to you all. My name is Elsa, and Elsa will be the assistant during the call. Right now, we want to welcome you all to the second quarter financial results for Argos Group. All lines have been placed on silent mode in order to remove any background noise. After the presentation, there's going to be a Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question in that moment, please press star followed by key one. So now I want to grant the word to Natalia Aguilera, who is the Investor Relations Director. Good morning. My name is Natalia Aguilera, Investor Relations Director. We want to thank you for your participation in this call, where we'll be discussing the results for Argos Group for the second quarter of 2017. With me, we have Jorge Mario Velasque, Argos Group President, Alejandro Piedrahíta, VP of Corporate Finances, Maria Clara Aristizabal, Real Estate Business Manager, and Rafael Olivera, who's in charge of corporate matters. This conference is being translated into English simultaneously. We want to remember that all our reports and any relevant information are published in English and Spanish in our investor portal, www.grupoargos.com. This same web page, you can find the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. Download it, go to Financial Information, and afterwards click on Reports, where you'll find on second quarter file called Presentation Second Tier 2017. Please go to a presentation on slide number three. And now I'll give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez. Thank you, Natalia, and good morning to you all. Welcome to this teleconference for sharing and explaining the results that we've obtained for the second quarter of 2017. It's a conference where, at the end of this quarter, we could emphasize on the strategic development of the actions that Argos Group has followed in the articulation and structuring of the portfolio, becoming a much more focused player on road and airport concessions, both in cement and energy. I wanted to emphasize on this specific aspect because the focus of this business is clearly seen on the benefits that are translated into having businesses that follow different cycles in different geographies that complement each other. And that way, it allows us to maintain a good profitability level despite fluctuations that markets naturally have. Effective portfolio management in terms of geographies, in terms of currencies and sectors, allow us to present today positive results that present a stability between all of them, and especially in the EBITDA margin, reaching a 25% in the middle of a challenging moment where the energy and concession businesses have presented outstanding performances. Now let's speak about the results of the different business lines. It's important to highlight how the concession business becomes more important within the results of this holding. Currently, Odensa represents 13% of consolidated incomes of Argos Group, compared with the 6% of the same quarter last year. In respect with the results of this business, I would like to highlight the important increase in both income-wise, revenue-wise, as well as EBITDA-wise for this quarter. We had a 54 and 65% respectively. These were fruit of a disciplined work focused on portfolio purging, finishing with the disinvestment of Genpac, and the road concession for Santa Marta Paraguachón, in between other activities that wanted to consolidate the company as one of the most relevant ones in road and airport concessions in Colombia and in the region. Concerning the cement business, the results for this period prove the adaptation capacity that the Argo cement business has in this challenging market that Colombia faces right now, that showed a trend towards a recovery. Sustained increase in the dispatched cement volumes that for the second quarter grows 18% if we compare those year to year, and sales increase of a 9% in the US, joined by an improvement of 400 basic points on the EBITDA margin if we compare this with the first quarter from last year, gives us light and leads us to believe that we will improve, and that the EBITDA margin, that's a 21%, shows that this disciplined strategy that's being applied helps us to stimulate this growing and materialization efforts within the BEST program that we are sure will have fruitful results for the end of this year. Concerning Celsia and the energy business, we want to highlight that despite low prices of energy in the stock market that we saw during this quarter, the company has been improving its profitability levels, reaching an EBITDA margin of a 38%, over much higher than a 30% that was the value that we registered for the first quarter of last year. At the same time, the company is working on improving their leverage indicators, reaching 3.5 times the net debt over EBITDA indicator, compared with a 4.3 times that was the indicator we had for the second quarter last year. We would also like to highlight that Celsia results reflect a strengthened and normalized operation, which is an evidence that can be seen in all the financial and operational indicators. The role of our holding. Well, before analyzing the results, I confirm the power of the portfolio strategy in an important source of value generation. I'd like to speak about the role that our holding has as an active architect of investments done by it. This strategy has materialized during this period in three important facts that I would like to highlight up next. Well, first of all, I would like to go over with you the recent sale transaction of our participation in Compass to an investment private fund owned by Goldman Sachs that we will be analyzing between slides number 4 and 5 that you have on your screen. Second, I'd like to thank for the trust given by the market concerning the recent emissions of our titles of, and we want to also highlight the positive trends in risk ratings of our companies. Concerning the recent transaction of Compass, this is a port company where Argos Group had a participation of a 50%. This operation reached 407 billion Colombian pesos, which represents a 2.5 times return over the investment that we did 5 years ago, that was equivalent to 166 billion Colombian pesos. This transaction is equal to a multiple of 25% of the EBITDA generated by Compass in year 2016. This transaction is a clear example of our value generation found in our portfolio administration activities, where we, in a period shorter than 5 years, we were able to double the value of the assets received from that business, transforming bulk cement terminals focused on the import and export of cement and coal into an integrated logistics platform with international allies such as APM Terminals and the Port Authority of Singapore, that attracted the investment of a global player, first line and key in the market, such as Goldman Sachs. Today, Argos Group materializes its investment thesis in Compass with a TIR of 26% and consolidates even more its portfolio, given main focus on the cement, energy, and road and airport concession businesses, keeping at the same time a financial flexibility that will allow managing in an efficient way its capital. With the end of expressing the impact that this transaction has, you can see on slide number five, it's a preform both at a consolidated and individual level, where you can analyze how the Compass disinvestment increases the adjusted EBITDA for Argos Group in approximately 220 billion Colombian pesos, with a close profit impact to minus 4 billion Colombian pesos per year through a participation method. This transaction positively impacts Grupo Argos cash flows and strengthens the financial position of the holding, allowing the company to proceed with an efficient allocation of capital. I want to close this part of the Compass transaction, emphasizing that this transaction is another link within the advancements that we have achieved in previous years in the consolidation of Argos Group portfolio that includes, between others, the acquisition of an additional 44% of Odisha stocks, a purchase of a 30% of participation of Opain and its posterior consolidation, and finally, the portfolio purging for Odisha that for this year has concluded with the asset disinvestment for ports and energy generation. Moving on to slide number six. As it was mentioned before, this portfolio strategy has been supported by the trust of capital markets that during the quarter responded to the commercial paper emission for Argos Group for 350 billion Colombian pesos, with an over-demand of 2.7 times and a final cut rate of 6.14% in a 12-month period, giving us an optimization if we compare it with our actual debt average rate. At the same time, Argo Cement was able to launch its fifth emission of ordinary bonds for 1 trillion Colombian pesos, up to a 25-year time period, emission that was demanded for 1.7 times and highly competitive advantages of rate 7.22%, which present an advantage if you compare it with what a triple A emitter is granted. With respect to ratings, we want to state that Argos Group maintained its perspective from Fitch and Standard and Poor's, and Celsia and Odinza actually improved their rating perspectives. Complementarily, we want to tell you also that we were included for the second consecutive year in the emerging market index of FTSE for goods, that after evaluating more than 4,100 companies, highlights the most important of them in terms of economic, social, and environmental sustainability, which also constitutes one of the highest reference for decision making on responsible investments for global markets. Added to what we previously said, on slide number seven, you can see how the market has recognized the importance of our portfolio strategy, appraising or increasing its value at a 7% if we compare it with June 2016. Now let's move on and discuss the results, both consolidated and separate results for Argos Group. After going over the most relevant facts that happened during this period, we want to invite you now to go over the consolidated financial results that you can find between slides 8 and 12. For the second quarter of this year, consolidated results confirm a positive dynamic in the energy and concession business that actually level out the not as favorable results of the cement business. Consolidated income for Argos Group for the second quarter of 2017 reached 3.6 trillion pesos, growing 5% if we compare it with the second quarter of 2016. This is mainly explained due to larger contributions to the concession business in around 276 billion Colombian pesos, which include Opain that starts being consolidated since February 2017. Even though that for this period we could observe a less contribution from Argos Cement that keeps facing an adverse dynamic regarding competition in Colombia, we should highlight that the results for June in this business start presenting a different type of dynamic, being this the first month in this year that presents better results in EBITDA than compared with last year, 2016, reaching on June 155 billion Colombian pesos EBITDA-wise and 200 basic points higher EBITDA-wise, which represent an increase of over 21%. We should also mention that this is the highest EBITDA margin that we've obtained the last 18 months for the cement business, which shows a much better and positive trend towards the future. Consolidated EBITDA between April and June increased to 873 billion Colombian pesos, where we should highlight a positive variation in the concession business that was close to 71 billion Colombian pesos and 45 billion Colombian pesos in the energy business. Aligned with what was generated during the first quarter, which also shows stability signals, fruit of an efficient allocation strategy that the company has followed. Finally, net profit was close to 250 billion Colombian pesos, dropping if we compare this with the second profit that we had for the second quarter of 2016. This is explained due to the financial expense increases that we went through during the consolidation of ADM, BTA, and Opain, and also the credit obtained by Cementos Argos for the acquisition of the Martinsburg plant last year. We also want to highlight that the net profit for the controller reached 106 billion Colombian pesos. On slide number 12, you can find the consolidated general balance for June 2017 that, as it has been seen in other indicators, shows variation explained by the portfolio consolidation. At the end of this period, the assets were close to 48 trillion Colombian pesos, growing a 7% if we compare this with December 2016. Liabilities were close to 24 trillion Colombian pesos, and the equity was also close to 24 trillion Colombian pesos. Now let's speak about the separate financial results. Moving on to slide number 13, for the second quarter of 2017, the separate income for Argos Group were close to 211 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 75% year by year. This increase is explained due to financial operations that were done after the dividend payment of Sura Group, for which Argos Group carried out a temporal transfer operation guaranteeing a better profitability. Eliminating this effect, the preform incomes of Grupo Argos at a separate level had presented a positive variation of a 20%, supported on an income increase of the real estate business for urban lot sales. Concerning the participation method, we can evidence a larger contribution in the concession and energy business for this holding's result. As a consequence of a balanced contribution in the three businesses, EBITDA-wise, this was located in 95 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter with an EBITDA margin of a 66%. We also want to highlight how the accumulated EBITDA for this semester grew a 3%, and there's a clear reduction in the administrative expenses concerning this holding, excluding the real estate business, of an 8%. This is a clear sign of our commitment in terms of efficiency that we've actually set in this organization. On slide number 14, you can also see the general balance distribution, separate general balance distribution for Grupo Argos. At the end of June, assets added 17.5 trillion Colombian pesos, liabilities 2 trillion Colombian pesos, and the equity was 15 billion Colombian pesos. Now, let's analyze the separated indebtedness of the company. For June 2017, the debt added 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos, growing by 14% if it's compared with June last year. This increase is explained by the credits that were taken for the acquisition of 30% of Opain. Nevertheless, we want to highlight that the net debt over EBITDA indicator register a reduction and is located in 2.7 times, giving a larger EBITDA generation, while the cash flow over interest indicator went from a healthy 3.5 times to 4.1 times at the end of the quarter, which is actually over the recommended levels for hedging. We also want to highlight that resources coming from the Compa sale will set us in a very comfortable position for the leverage and indicators if we analyze them separately. Now, I want to invite you move on to the operational businesses of the company concerning concessions, cement, energy, and real estate, for which I'll be speaking about the main strategic advancements that each one of these has gone through in order to complement both the information that you have on the results and financial results booklet for second quarter 2017 that we have actually sent to you all, as well as in the presentation that has already been shared to the market by each one of these companies. Let's begin with Odense now. I want to invite you all to look at page number 16, where we want to highlight how the company has ended the portfolio purging, seeking to concentrate its operations in having controlled assets both for airports and roads. In this line, Odense has announced the disinvestment of Generadora del Pacífico, GEMPAC, for this year, Generadora del Atlántico, GENA, in June this year, and also the participation disinvestment in Santa Marta Paraguachón concession for that same month. The end of these processes will leave Odense with a purged and focused portfolio, at the same time offering a larger financial flexibility for the projects that are currently debt by the company, meeting its financial commitments for this semester and also the commitments done investment-wise and for their portfolio. We also want to highlight the advancement in Pacifico 2 project that connects the center of the country to the Pacific region as one of the most emblematic projects in the first 4G wave generation that has actually right now a 20% advancement of the total work that has been set out to do. At an operational level, Odinsa registers for the first quarter a growth in vehicle and passenger traffic, growing 1.5% and 3.3%. Road concessions registered more than 73,000 vehicles on a daily basis, while airport concessions registered more than 17 million passengers up to June 2017, which shows an improvement for the second quarter, being the first quarter in the last 15 months where we could see a positive variation. Before explaining the financial results from Odinsa, it is also important to understand that these results differ from the ones that we might see on the Grupo Argos accounting books, given to the reasonable value adjustments done after the Opain control acquisition, as well as Autopistas del Norte and Boulevard Turístico de Atlántico. All these adjustments have an important effect that even though it's positive, it's not recurrent, and because of this, it is convenient to analyze carefully, purge and understand also very carefully. In terms of incomes, at a consolidated level, Odinsa registered 203 billion Colombian pesos for the second quarter. This is a 54% growth if we compare this year after year, mainly explained by the consolidation that we have already mentioned of ADN and BTA, and also explained by larger contributions from the construction consortium for the Green Corridor that's an execute project that's being executed in Aruba. Concerning this Green Corridor execution, and given the good performance that it has shown during its construction that will end in September 2017, we've taken the decision of keeping this investment within the Odinsa portfolio for an 18-year concession period. We also want to highlight how the portfolio purging that has been executed jointly with Argos Group has allowed the company a solid cash flow generation for the assets that are being operated, that actually for second quarter 2017 contributed 134 billion Colombian pesos EBITDA-wise for 65% growth if we compare this with the second quarter 2016, and an EBITDA margin of a 66%. The cement business. Moving on with the cement business, information that you can find on slide number 20, we want to mention the adaptation capacity that the business has had in order to fight back a challenging market that we've faced in Colombia in the last times. Actually, these have been tied into tangible results with the BEST program. Up to date, advancements have been very positive, with savings up to June, cost per ton-wise of $7, and in administration and sales, savings of a 37% for the Colombian business. For the end of 2017, we want to have savings around $12 per ton as a response of the new dynamic of the sector, and this way leading to the adequate profitability of the operations. Moving on to volumes that you might see on slide number 22, I want to emphasize in cement dispatches at a consolidated level, being able to see that there has been an increase of an 18%. This has been led by the United States operation that has increased a 46%. This is close to a 6% if we exclude the volumes contributed by the new cement plant of Martinsburg, West Virginia. Also supported by the recovery of the cement volumes in Colombia, where there was a growth of a 7% unit-wise. Concerning the concrete volumes, this keeps showing drops in their majority affected mainly by a lower dynamics in the state of Texas, more particularly in the city of Houston. Concerning the results found on slide number 23, if we still see a competitive dynamic in Colombia that's actually challenging, numbers start showing positive signs. Incomes are close to 2.2 trillion pesos, dropping a 2%. We also need to highlight here that cement sale average prices reached their minimum volume between April and May and now start presenting a slight recovery for the month of June. As well as income, the consolidated EBITDA was impacted by the competitive dynamic found in Colombia, locating itself in 367 billion Colombian pesos. Nevertheless, we want to highlight the Colombian regional EBITDA margin for the month of June, as I mentioned previously, reaching a 20%. That's the highest one for this year. We also want to highlight a positive generation in the net profit, reaching this year 48 billion Colombian pesos. Despite the challenges that we face on the cement business, we also have positive expectations around the recovery of the Colombian market prices. Also, we believe in the consolidation of our presence in the Central American market and the growth opportunities shown by the U.S. economy, where we are nowadays strengthened thanks to the purchase that we had in the Martinsburg plant. Now, I want to invite you to go over the energy business results. This you can find between pages 24 and 27. Celsia has constantly been working in order to manage and adapt itself to the risks and challenges presented by the industry. And today, with the results that we've obtained for this second quarter of this year, we can confirm that Celsia's operation has strengthened with results that confirm a normalized and efficient management with EBITDA margins close to a 38%. And with the growth of 700 basis points if we compare this with second quarter 2016. Parallelly to this financial positive results in terms of leveraging, the business has been advancing in this indicator reduction, net debt EBITDA indicator reduction, that right now is located in 3.5 times, much better than compared with the 4.3 times that was recorded for this same quarter last year. The disciplined administration of the resources that have been generated by the operations in the different businesses and geographies has allowed the accelerated recovery of this indicator. Celsia continues with this commitment of offering a better dynamic of the energy sector in Colombia, impulsing renewable non-conventional energies and expanding its distribution operations at a national level. Social Farm Celsia in Yumbo, that's close to start its operations. The installation of solar rooftops based on Law 1715 and Plan Cinco Caribe project, between others, are advancing towards that future without any problems. The consolidated generation reached 1,618 gigawatts per hour in the first quarter. This number is 7% less than what we recorded in the same quarter last year, but this reduction is explained due to a lower generation of thermal plants. This reduction allowed, at the same time, a larger participation of hydraulic generation. With a lower cost, with a higher efficiency, which led to a positive result in terms of margins. The consolidated income reached 743 billion Colombian pesos. This number is lower than what we had on the same period, 2016, explained by a lower price in the stock market. But nevertheless, the situation is balanced by a significant reduction of costs obtained as a result, and EBITDA for this quarter close to 279 billion Colombian pesos. This is 6% higher than what we had same quarter last year. We also want to highlight the good result in the EBITDA margin that for this quarter was close to a 38%, aligned with the normalized historical margins that the company has presented. Between April and June 2017, we could see an advancement in the positive net result located in 64 billion Colombian pesos, while the net profit for the controller is close to 43 billion Colombian pesos. Now, moving on to the real estate business results. We want to share now with you the results of the real estate business. This can be found between slides 28 and 30. For 2017, the urban development business for Argos Group keeps positive perspectives in terms of land lot sales, as this investment strategy focused on the value generation. During the second quarter, we also want to highlight 29,000 square meters that allowed to recognize 45 billion Colombian pesos and 55 billion for cash flows. Additionally, we also want to highlight as a relevant happening the approval of the Barranquilla Mayor's Office of the Zone Territory Plan for the SOMAR region that was key for developing 223 hectares from the Pavas land lot, which will allow the future sale of 108 hectares of urbanized land, reaching a usage of a 59% of that land after subtracting the affectations. Concerning the real estate business, we also want to highlight the positive results of the Pafia Real Estate Fund since its beginning, the 20th of January. It has had a growth with effective annual yields of close to an 8%. At the end of the first quarter this year, the rentable area for Pafia was close to 518,000 square meters, presenting an increase of a 20% if we compare this with the same period last year. The assets under administration were close to 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos, which represented operational gross incomes close to 54 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter, growing a 15% year after year, with a consolidated EBITDA of 23 billion Colombian pesos and a 43% margin. Before proceeding to the Q&A session, I would like to share with you certain comments in terms of the results. Results presented in this first half of the year reiterate the focalization strategy that we want to follow, strengthening our roles as an active holding, the sale of our participation in Compass is actually a clear example of this, in favor of a continuous seeker of efficiencies, synergies, operational savings, and the most efficient capital allocation in order to maximize the value of all our business group, and because of this, the value of the investment that you represent within this organization. With long-term view, we maintain our optimism, being realistic, recognizing the difficulties that the country went through during the first quarter, and we are optimistic concerning the performance of 2017. This quarter presented a positive trend change in terms of the cement production in Colombia and good operational results and financial results in the rest of the regions where the cement business is, but also in the energy business, as well as in the road and airport concession business. We believe that our efforts as a business sector that committed with the country's development will be supported by the rest of the sectors in the economy. And we believe that's very important to accelerate and to concrete projects in a cross-cutting manner that are decisive for the competitiveness of the country, projects such as infrastructure, especially the fourth generation projects, and for the country to advance in the normative framework in order to allow the right conditions that will lead to a high competitiveness of our country, and at the same time that we bet on a decisive massification of clean energies in Colombia. So with that vision, I'd like to give the word to the operator that can proceed now with the Q&A session. Well, thank you. Right now, I'd like to remember that if you want to ask a question, please press star followed by key number one, asterisk, or star one. The first question comes from Catherine Ortiz from Davivienda. Good morning. How have you been? Thank you for the conference. I basically have two questions. First question is related with how would the EBITDA, interest EBITDA indicator would be finally, because we do see that there's a change after a Compass sale. And what other strategies do you have to improve cash flow situation for Argos Group, more specifically regarding the short term? And if this is actually bearing in mind the capital needs that Odinsa has, those that we saw in the report, in the rating company, because we do see that Grupo Argos is expecting to have contribution of 600 billion Colombian pesos. This would be my first question. Second question is more related with Pactia's performance. I'd like to understand a bit more how has the EBITDA evolution performed, because we do see that there's a significant drop. And if you could expand a little bit more of GLA is expanding. I do see that you have 518,000 square meters. And I remember that at the beginning of Pactia's process, you were expecting to have at the end of 2017, 605,000 square meters. So I was wondering how has these projects been rolling, if there's any setbacks that you have encountered, or if you're expecting any changes due to the deacceleration that we've seen in the economy. And also in the real estate business, we've seen a deacceleration. So maybe you want to hear your thoughts about this. Well, Katia, thanks for your question. I would begin by sharing with you certain elements that I consider important, both for the net debt that we have EBITDA-wise. There's actually a reduction there. It goes from 3.3 to 2.7 times. So maybe we can see an improvement in the debt indicator for EBITDA without bearing in mind the resources that we have, 407 billion Colombian pesos that come from the Compass disinvestment. That's a reduction that places it under 3 times, and as we've previously mentioned, and can actually be seen in the financial reports. In the separate financial reports, you can see a very important increase that's actually included within the participation, but also the cash flow that the company has, cash flow that the company receives. For the dividends, the Argos Cement's dividend, we could see the difference there. There's a reestablishment also of Celsius dividend That's close to 6 billion Colombian pesos, and also Odinsa's dividend reestablishment once again. Obviously, the indicator drops. It actually drops under 3 times before applying the disinvestment resources, and the holding's cash flow position is substantially better than what we had in previous years, despite the fact that we've used part of the resources of that financing for the acquisition of Opain. Later on, I'll give the word to Alejandro Piedrahita. He can also drill down a bit more on this if you're looking for significant figures. Speaking more specifically about Pactia, I'm going to give the word to Maria Aristizabal. She's the lead for the real estate business in Argos. She'll be sharing with you certain elements that you might bear in mind. More specifically, the results that have been expressed this period are not exactly comparable with last year's due to the consolidation, due to the work, the capital, the private capital works, and the custody works. These are the two units that actually manage that private equity fund that's actually paying a fee for the asset administration. So what you see as a reduction in the equity fund is handled by the management unit that's actually part of the company. So first of all, just let me give you the word to Alejandro so he could give you a bit more light about those financial indicators, and afterwards Maria Clara can also get the word. Well, sorry, Alejandro, before, just let me interrupt you for a second, because what I'd like to understand, I do understand the net debt, the net debt EBITDA indicator. And actually, thank you, Jorge Mario, for the question, but what I'd like to understand is that Argos Group has a separate cash flow that's close to 70 billion Colombian pesos, and with the sale of Compass, we're speaking about 400 additional 400 billion Colombian pesos. If we round those figures, we would be speaking about 470,000 or 470 billion, sorry. I'd like to understand if with this level of cash flow, do you feel comfortable due to the cap needs that Odinsa has? That's one thing. Because from another side, the interest EBITDA indicator, we do see that there's a similarity that redounds, that actually affects Argos Group finances. So we'd like to ask you maybe, how do you see this in the midterm, more specifically about the equity needs that the different businesses have? Well, thank you, Catherine. Just let me complement the specific idea. As you have said, and as we announced yesterday, we perfection the Safito's transaction and the close of this transaction. We're speaking about 407 billion Colombian pesos that come into the business. This obviously makes our cash, or leaves our cash in around 507 billion Colombian pesos. The indicator that we use, and it's actually the best indicator, and that's the closest one for the cash flow, is the cash flow over interest indicator. The higher it spikes up, it means that we're basically covering with larger liquidity all these interests. So if, for example, we see that the indicator at the beginning of the year is going to be an indicator that's going to be under 3 times, or an indicator that's going to be at 6 times, this means that we have 6 times the cash to pay the interest for 1 year. So this means that we have enough money to pay the interest for 6 consecutive years. So the indicator works differently. So this, what basically shows, is that Argos Group, at a separate level, has enough cash. Because let's remember two things. Well, first thing is what Mario mentioned. The incomes that we've received through the dividends are increased more than 75% compared with last year. That would be the first thing. Second, incomes related with the real estate business have been showing a positive trend, even higher than what we had forecasted initially. And finally, we had additional income that we were able to anticipate. This was actually a product of the dividend given by Sura Group, where we anticipated those incomes for 75 billion Colombian pesos added to the 407 billion Colombian pesos that we had from Compass. So in liquidity terms, this gives us a very friendly financial flexibility. From a capitalization point of view, in the measure that companies need cash flow, they're looking at different alternatives, of course, that we are constantly going over, constantly reviewing. For example, in the case of Odinsa, you can see that the company had an asset sale that was a very important asset sale, generating internal cash for the business. And the same thing is being done by the cement business. They've been acquiring a series of disinvestments, what from a cash flow point of view obviously leads to financial to internal financing. Obviously, capitalization and related topics are always being discussed, but from a capital allocation point of view, from each one of the operational businesses, how can they manage their capital in the most efficient manner possible? But at the end, I can tell you that separately within the Argos Group, we have a very strong financial flexibility due to this that I just mentioned, increase in dividends and in disinvestments such as the Compass case. Oh, Catherine, just let me answer Ipaktia's question. Well, the EBITDA margin drops because the reason Jorge Mario gave you, it's due to the private equity fund that we're paying 1.5% of the administrated assets. So it's natural that when these types of funds are growing, we have these types of expenses associated, and more specifically, due to the fact that we're not receiving incomes yet. And as Jorge Mario explained, this that we're paying becomes an income for the managing company that we are actually owning a 50%. So we record that afterwards as the net profit that we are actually receiving from that specific vehicle. You were also asking about the GLA. Well, effectively, we will finish in those 605,000 square meters. Probably it's going to be even more because we're analyzing non-organic alternatives, taking advantage of certain players that we see that can be facing certain dire straits that we can help them out with. Okay, thank you, Maria Clara. Thank you, Catherine. Well, if you have any other concern about the cash-related topics or liquidity indicators, we could actually drill down even deeper on those. But I believe that with this previous explanation, I hope that you feel easy by now. Yes, thank you, Jorge Mario. Okay, the next question comes from Daniel Guardiola from BTG Pactual. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. Well, first of all, I'd like to know if you could maybe give us a bit more information about the expected dividends for 2018. More specifically, I'd like to ask about two questions. First of all, if the high leverage that Argos has, or the waiver that this company has for the banks, will limit dividend payments towards 2018. And my second question goes as follows. Are you expecting dividends coming from Opain, US Argos Group, once the expansion project ends? Well, that would be like my first question about dividends towards 2018. And my second question is, after selling the logistics assets, those ports, I'd like to know if maybe you could give us an update of the expected sale of the coal mine, the Fator coal mine. I don't know if you have any idea, if you could give me any color or light about this related topic. Well, Daniel, just first of all, let me greet you. And let me approach this question by parts. Well, obviously, dividends and everything related to dividends, we cannot define it since now. We're halfway through the year, and we still have another halfway to cover. So it would be a bit complicated giving guidance about dividend or making any comments about these values. But Something that I can answer from your question is the waiver in the cement business that you saw that went to 4.4 in net debt EBITDA, as you properly explained, is based on several elements. For example, the guidance that the cement business is given for the end of the year EBITDA, even more leveraged with those positive trends that we've been seeing in the US and positive trends that are actually arising in Colombia volume-wise and price-wise, are around 1.6, 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos EBITDA-wise. That's actually the guidance given by the company. So, at that EBITDA level, we would be expecting the close for the end of this year. It would obviously depend on the performance that the company goes through during the second part of the year, but that is also supported by a very important program. Oh, it's clear, this investment program that we have that has been followed now for a certain time, and actually from the board, we've been closely tracking all these processes. We have part of the energy generation assets in there. These assets are actually advancing it in a pretty proper manner. There's also other possibilities of disinvestment, non-core assets that we're currently exploring. And with these assets that we're analyzing, we'll complete those disinvestments that we want to the company towards, which will help the company reducing their debt levels up to 3.5 times. So I would say that the vision, not just the EBITDA generation vision, but also the different multiples for the net for net debt will be stabilized in the midterm, more specifically with the generation that the company is acquiring EBITDA-wise. This is also supported by your program that many of you might know in detail. It's the rationalization program, the cost rationalization and reduction program, and focusing on a CapEx allocation, thorough CapEx allocation. So we're not really expecting a very strong effect on dividend levels or any types of constraints about those dividend levels. But let me say once again, it is difficult. It is something that's complex, I must say, and it would not be recommendable making any guidance about dividends in this point of the year we are. But the signals are positive, let me say that, and the signals show that we won't be facing any difficulties. In the contrary, and actually as something positive, I believe that the news that we've been getting about energy business, about country consolidation, about concessions are also all positive, not result-wise, but also cash generation-wise. So from Argos Group vision, that strategic balance with different businesses and with different cycles will give us the ease, cash flow-wise, that we've actually forecasted for the mid and long term. Concerning Puerto Libertador assets, yeah, sorry, just allow me to interrupt just for a second. If you could talk a little bit about what you're expecting from Opain, if you're expecting received dividends once the expansion project ends, how can that cash generation build into the holding? Well, yes, Daniel, that's a very relevant question. I would answer saying yes, effectively, the voluntary and complementary works that we're carrying out will be delivering in this third quarter in Bogota. Here we're speaking about the airport. This will be delivered by Opain, and without any doubt, Opain's consolidation, it wants not just to bring over that EBITDA to the Argos Group, but also the dividend distribution once the restructuring is complete. Let me give the floor to Alejandro, and he could maybe share with you a bit more about the numbers and what we have for Alpine in the mid and long term. Well, yeah, basically there's something that's very important here from an Alpine point of view, from an Alpine standpoint. The received dividend concept in Opine's case, due to the way the concessions were structured in their moment, this is handled by a subordinate debt. So what Opine is doing right now is that Opine is paying for a subordinate debt. And this is being paid to the shareholders that, in this case, Argos Group and Odinsa have actually the right of receiving incomes for those subordinate debt payments. Just for you to have a better idea, the values that we've received for this debt, year-wise, for our case, we would be speaking about 40 billion Colombian pesos per year. So in the measure that subordinate debt comes to an end, and in the measure that we start building the indicators, you get the traditional concept of dividends. But for the moment, payments being done by Opine right now are under the line of subordinate debt. Now, Daniel, speaking about coal assets for Puerto Carbón, held by Sator. As we've conveyed to the market, the company has been now for around a decade in this constant disinvestment process, where we've been disinvesting in the coal assets. For example, the Puerto Libertador mine is the mine that's still under our operation. It's actually located to two pretty natural consumers. We have Cerro Matoso and Siseca. This is a thermoelectric plant that's close by. And a certain part of this coal is also being exported to Brazil. That's basically the only coal operation that the company still has. We're under the radar with this mission of trying to find opportunities with this asset. We've been actually working with certain companies such as Isaac Power that might be interested in exploring different types of projects. Sator's situation is positive in cash generation wise, in profit generation wise, but in the mid and long term, we can look for an option where we can maximize our assets, given that our strategic definition is not staying for longer in the coal business, or towards the future, we don't want to stay in the coal business. Okay, once again, if you want to ask any question, press star 1. And the next question comes from Carlos Rodriguez from Credicorp. Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your presentation. My question has to do with cash generation. And if with this report, this investment that you're speaking about, if the coal, what you just mentioned, is going to be the last of this investment, or is there any other ideas that the holder might have in terms of disinvestments and improving cash flows? And if you could give me maybe what are you expecting from Odin? Are you expecting dividends in the next couple of years, now knowing that the company is investing in 4G projects? Carlos, thank you. And I would maybe expand a bit more on what I've just previously answered. And let me explain Odinsa. The construction projects being led by Odinsa, more specifically speaking about Pacifico Dos and Los Llanos, besides the voluntary and complementary works at El Dorado Airport, this last one is almost ended, and the other ones are structured under a project finance type of scheme that are properly supported for their financial needs and debt needs. So as Alejandro explained, the capital needs of each one of our companies is being closely monitored. In the particular case of Odinsa, the Llanos support that we're thought for this year have been moved for next year. So right now, the cash situation due to our own generation, meaning by this the Odense generation, plus the disinvestments that we have previously mentioned, plus the equity contributions that we have already mentioned, plus other small disinvestments that we have thought, more specifically on non-core assets that Odense has, it give us this ease for the rest of the year. Because as Alejandro has previously explained, we have been closely monitoring all of the steps, more specifically based on the needs. But right now we can say that we feel easy on that specific field. Speaking about the dividends, well, we've included already, as we have emphasized now, the Opain's dividend. This includes Odense as well as Argos Group, and this is actually a stabilized asset that has finished with its building stage and its kind of market demand stage. So I believe that we could feel also tranquil or easy with this cash flow. Speaking about those investments, well, as you have mentioned before, we have the coal business that's being analyzed right now, and obviously the real estate business is a business we've accelerated and where we've been also looked at the possibilities of making more of this investment based on the assets that we have. The information that we are conveying today about the approval of the zone plan for Barranquilla, it is very, very important because those 108 hectares that I was speaking about earlier with an urbanization factor that's close to a 60%. This is an asset that could be considered in the best expansion area of Barranquilla with a very important factor. And even though they were included within our asset portfolio, this required all necessary norms in order to develop and commercialize this project. So I do celebrate, and I want to emphasize in the importance of the cash flow and of the speed that the company can have to extract that value from those real estate assets. Yeah, this is very focused on the obtainment of that urbanistic approval in Barranquilla. So we've been disinvesting in different branches as the cement, disinvestments, as I have mentioned already. We also have non-core real estate disinvestments done from the Odense side. And we also have the possibility that this good news about the permissions for Pava's assets, in order we can accelerate this investment of certain assets. So we have some land that we own in a very specific part of Barranquilla. So I believe that with that, we can feel comfortable for future dividends, plus the cash flow, future cash flows that the businesses might inquire in. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Thank you, Carlos. Next question comes from Edgar Romero from PVA. Good morning, and thank you for your presentation. My question is related with the resources that you'll be receiving for the Compass sale, which are the terms of payment. And those resources, how are they going to be used? If you could be as specific as possible in terms of using these resources, how are these going to be used? And also, if you could speak about the capital needs or equity needs that Odense has, how are you seeing that, given that you have an almost absolute control of the company? For when can we expect a capitalization so we can meet these needs that we have? Well, Carlos, let's go by parts. Let me begin by speaking about the Compass disinvestment payment. I'd just like to mention a couple of things about that disinvestment. This is a very important disinvestment, not just for the Argos Group, but this is a disinvestment that focalizes our strategy on the road and airport businesses and leads to an adequate capital rotation or equity rotation in terms of profitability. But I'd just like to emphasize on something that we haven't highlighted enough, and that's the importance that it has for the country the importance this has for the future concession programs and for the future of the shareholders that we have in Compass, the quality of business partner that we're getting into Compass. Goldman Sachs is a key player, first-level player, very serious. They're completely professional in the way they handle their relationships. I admire and respect the way this business has been done with Goldman Sachs. Because for the country, for us Colombians, this means a very important player coming into our field. Having this fund with a direct participation, not just as a financial structure, or not just from a debt side point of view, but from the equity point of view for the infrastructure business of the country is fundamental. It's actually fundamental also for all the infrastructure industry in the country, for ports, for airports, and this is reflected in the importance of these players being from our side. This would be my first comment. Second, well, the process was a pretty concise, pretty professional and detailed process that basically with the SPA signature, there will be certain conditions for the close, but this is a very well-defined close because this is just linked to two, three conditions coming from some debt waivers that the company has. Waivers that we don't see as a difficulty, and we would hope that in around 4 weeks we can have a definite close of the operation that actually does not have to be approved from a regulatory standpoint. That means that the money will be coming in fast. Speaking about capitalization, equity capitalization, just let me reiterate what we mentioned before from Odinza. We've been closely monitoring all of the cash situation of Odinza. This is result of these investments that have already been done, these investments of other real estate and assets they have, also product of a good handling of their operations. As you could see, the EBITDA was pretty good as well as the cash. And this was a result of the outbound dividends and the cash flow this means for Odinza, because this means that they own 35% of Odinza. And also, a certain equities that have been delayed for next year, because if Grupo Argos has been saying that they're ready to do the capital contribution whenever it's ready, we can say that this semester was not, we didn't have that need, and that the needs that Odinza has financially, cash wise, are covered. So this would be a context about the cash Odinza faces right now. Just to drill down a bit more on this question, I was wondering, those resources that would come in due to the Compass sale, those resources, how are they going to be used within the group strategy? What's their ending, or what have you thought about these resources? Okay, just let me give the word to Alejandro. Alejandro could explain better. Yes, Edgar. Well, just for you to know, from uses and sources, we are making an end-of-the-year forecast. For September, we 130 billion Colombian pesos are expiring, so this is going to be a focus on that main core business. And the measure that we also start receiving that cash, we also constantly monitor what would be the best and most efficient way of handling that liquidity in a certain given moment. And that's exactly what we're reviewing right now under the light of certain opportunities that we might have. But what we basically have right now, we're using part of that cash for paying part of the debt that's close to be expired. Okay, thank you. That's clear for us. At this moment, we don't have any more questions. Let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez for his final remarks. Thank you, everyone, for your questions, for being with us in this presentation and in previous presentations also. I just wanted to reiterate two key messages. First, the trust that we have in that positive trend that we've been seeing in our different businesses, despite the difficulties that the country might be facing right now. But our long-term strategy, being present in the businesses that are connected through infrastructure with different types of intensities in different geographies, in different currencies, in different cycles, have a huge potential. And I also wanted to highlight the expectations that some of our businesses have, relevant businesses for the generation of results in Argos Group, such as the cement businesses or such as the energy businesses. I wanted to reiterate our invitation that if you have any questions, doubts, or queries, or if you want to go over any of these numbers or any of these parts of the presentation in a more detailed manner, we're more than open to answer any doubts or questions. And here we have Natalia, we have the financial team, we have a investor relations group also available. And thank you all. Thank you for your presentation. This would be the end of the conference. Thank you for your participation, and now you can disconnect from the call.